This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, I'm Malcolm Bernstein. It is May 10th, 2024, Erev Shabbat, the second day of the month of Iyar in the Hebrew calendar year of 5784. And this is the American Israelite program, The News of the Jews. Rabbi Julie Schwartz of Cincinnati, Ohio, was featured on PBS's series After Action. The series, as described on the PBS website, seeks to demystify the military experience, provide a platform for dialogue among family members, and preserve military stories. Schwartz told of her experience as the first woman rabbi to become a chaplain in the U.S. military. Her appointment to the position came just 14 years after Rabbi Sally Priesand, the first U.S. woman rabbi, was ordained in Cincinnati in 1972. Rabbi Julie Schwartz is an HUC alum. She served as the chaplain at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Oakland, California. Her story is featured in Season 2 of the After Action series in an episode that explores military chaplaincy in the United States. According to WVXU, Cincinnati's public radio station, Rabbi Schwartz's episode of After Action will air on Friday, May 10th, that's today, at 10 p.m. on Channel 14. Rabbi Schwartz was awarded the Naval Commendation Award after her 3 years of service in the U.S. military. Schwartz has had a major impact on the HUC committee since the beginning of her career as a rabbi. In 1990, Schwartz became the first ever CPE program associated with a rabbinical school. After the HUC board voted to close the rabbinic school in Cincinnati, Schwartz began offering her highly acclaimed CPE program via the Jewish Hospital of Cincinnati. In the upcoming After Action episode, Schwartz will recount her work as a naval chaplain, including the difficulties associated with being the first woman appointed to the position. The Cincinnati Jewish community will celebrate two Israeli holidays this coming week. On Sunday, May 12th, the community will mark Yom HaZikaron, Israel's Memorial Day. The day is set aside as an official day of remembrance for Israeli military members who gave their lives for the State of Israel, those who died in the establishment of the state, as well as those who lost their lives on active duty since, will be honored for their sacrifice. The holiday was made official in the State of Israel in 1963. The Memorial Day has been expanded to honor both fallen soldiers as well as those who have been victims of terror. This year, the celebration of the event is especially meaningful as the Israeli-Hamas war rages on in Gaza. The community will gather to celebrate Yom HaZikaron at the Mayor's and JCC from 6 to 7 p.m. on Sunday, May 12th. Registration is available on the Mayor's and JCC website. The celebration of Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel's Independence Day, will take place on Tuesday, May 14th. This national Israeli holiday marks the day when Israel's first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, declared independence and established the State of Israel on May 14, 1948. A Cincinnati community celebration will take place at the JCC and includes numerous events and service projects. From 12 noon to 6 p.m., Cincinnati residents may donate blood in the JCC parking lot at the Hawksworth Bloodmobile. From 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., there's a mitzvah fair in the Mayor's and JCC gym. Attendees can take part in service projects offered by numerous Jewish organizations throughout Cincinnati. Food will be available for purchase. The Yom HaAtzma'ut ceremony takes place at the JCC at 5 p.m. Following that, the Center will present the Humans of October 7th exhibit. The photography of Erez Kaganovich will be featured. In his artist statement on the JCC website, Kaganovich says of his exhibit that the project brings to light the human stories of the unique Israelis who stood up against evil. It shows the Israeli DNA at its best and shows the incredible spirit and resilience of the Israeli people. He will speak about his work from 6:30 to 7:30 after the ceremony. The exhibit is currently on display in the gallery until Tuesday, May 14th. More information can be found at the Meyerson JCC website. Several hundred community members will unite in solidarity with the people of Israel on Thursday, May 16th, 2024 at 8:30 a.m. for Jewish National Fund USA's annual Breakfast for Israel in Cincinnati. Chaired by local philanthropist Maury Weiner, the annual complimentary community event will feature keynote speaker Ellie Klein, the North American Director of Development and Jewish National Fund USA liaison for the ADI Negev Nahalat Eran, a world-class rehabilitation facility for people with disabilities supported by Jewish National Fund USA. ADI Negev is a crucial element of the organization's investment in improving the quality of life for Israelis with disabilities and ensuring that no one gets left behind in society. Klein will discuss the enriching activities and cutting-edge therapies the facility uses to maximize the potential of children and young adults with severe disabilities, even during wartime, as well as the opening of a new ward at the Harvey and Gloria Cayley Rehabilitation Medical Center at ADI Negev Nahalat Eran, the first and only rehabilitation hospital in southern Israel to provide all-exclusive medical rehabilitation and emotional support for dozens of war-wounded Israeli Defense Force soldiers and for civilians. Klein said, "As this horrific war rages on, it is essential that we consistently remind ourselves what we're fighting for and never allow our interest or passionate support for Israel to wane. This war is about more than securing Israel's safety and maintaining its sovereignty. We're fighting for our very humanity. That's why I feel a responsibility to share the story of ADI Negev Nahalat Eran far and wide, to highlight this bastion of compassionate care and acceptance as a shining example of the light we must harness to make it through these dark times." Event Chair Maury Weiner commented that Anne Frank once said, "No one has ever become poor by giving." When you support Jewish National Fund's USA's Resilience Campaign, 100% of your generosity will protect and rebuild our homeland. Israel needs us now, and every one of us can make a tremendous impact in making Eretz Yisrael more successful than ever. The students of the Pine School of Graduate Studies will offer a student-led conference at the Clow Library on Monday, May 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Hebrew Union College. The conference will also be available for online viewing. The conference, titled Redacted, Reused, and Recycled, Ancient Texts Across Time and Space, will feature presentations showcasing the research of PSGS students. A keynote address will be provided by Rabbi Matthew Krauss, Associate Professor of Judaic Studies and Director of the Hebrew Program at the University of Cincinnati. Dr. Krauss's keynote will be about the history of biblical interpretation in the Greco-Roman period. The Pine School of Graduate Studies trains both master's and doctoral students. The program highlights the wide range of research currently ongoing at Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. Texts from across time and space will be examined, from biblical material to Philo and those used during the American Civil War. The conference is a chance for PSGS students to highlight the research they've been conducting during their time in the graduate school. Friday night Shabbat is tonight, May 10th, at the Jewish Discovery Center from 5 to 7 p.m. The Jewish Discovery Center is located at 7587 Central Park Boulevard in Mason. It's never been easier to celebrate Shabbat with your family, friends, and community. Shabbat dinner is one of the most iconic and festive events of Jewish tradition. However, work and activity schedules can make it hard to plan your own Shabbat dinner. That's where Friday night Shabbat comes in, offering free dinners to families with young children, at least 1-12 or under, on Friday nights. RSVPs are encouraged at FridayNightShabbat.com, but walk-ins will always be welcome. Now, let's turn to our regular feature, the commentary on this week's Torah reading. We continue in the Book of Leviticus with Kedoshim, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1, through chapter 20, verse 27. The reading from the prophets is Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 2 through 20. The name of the parsha, Kedoshim, means holy, and it begins with the statement, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This is followed by dozens of mitzvot, divine commandments, through which the Jew sanctifies him or herself and relates to the holiness of God. And today we read from one of our regular commentators, the late Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. The 19th chapter of Leviticus, with which our parsha begins, is one of the supreme statements of the ethics of the Torah. It's about the right, the good, and the holy, and it contains some of Judaism's greatest moral commandments. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and let the stranger who lives among you be like your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were strangers in Egypt. But the chapter is also surprisingly strange. It contains what looks like a random jumble of commands, many of which have nothing whatever to do with ethics and only the most tenuous connection with holiness. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of materials. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or sorcery. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. And so the list goes on. What have these to do with the right, the good, and the holy? To understand this, we have to engage in an enormous leap of insight into the unique moral, social, spiritual vision of the Torah, so like anything we find elsewhere. The West has had many attempts at defining a moral system, some focused on rationality, others on emotions like sympathy and empathy. For some, the central principle was service to the state, for the others, moral duty, for yet others, the greatest happiness of the greatest number. These are all forms of moral simplicity. Judaism insists on the opposite, moral complexity. The moral life isn't easy. Sometimes duties or loyalties clash. Sometimes reason says one thing, emotion another. More fundamentally, Judaism identified three distinct moral sensibilities, each of which has its own voice and vocabulary. They are the ethics of the king, first. Second, the ethics of the priest, and fundamentally, the ethics of the prophet. Jeremiah and Ezekiel talk about their distinctive sensibilities. From Jeremiah 18, "For the teaching of the law, the Torah, by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets." And Ezekiel says in chapter 7, "They will go searching for a vision from the prophet. Priestly instruction in the law will cease. The council of the elders will come to an end." Priests think in terms of Torah. Prophets have the word or a vision. Elders and the wise have Eitzah. What does this mean? Kings and their courts are associated in Judaism with wisdom and their synonyms. Several books of Tanakh, most conspicuously Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, are books of wisdom of which the supreme exemplar was King Solomon. Wisdom in Judaism is the most universal form of knowledge, and the wisdom literature is the closest the Hebrew Bible comes to the other literature of the ancient Near East, as well as the Hellenistic sages. It is practical, pragmatic, based on experience and observation. It is judicious, prudent. It is a prescription for a life that is safe and sound, without excess or extremes, but hardly dramatic or transformative. That is the voice of wisdom, the virtue of kings. The prophetic voice is quite different, impassioned, vivid, radical in its critique of the misuse of power and the exploitative pursuit of wealth. The prophet speaks on behalf of the people, the poor, the downtrodden, the abused. He or she thinks of the moral life in terms of relationships between God and humanity and between human beings themselves. The key terms for the prophet are tzedek, distributive justice, mishpat, retributive justice, chesed, loving kindness, and rachamim, mercy or compassion. The prophet has emotional intelligence, sympathy and empathy, and feels the plight of the lonely and oppressed. Prophecy is never abstract. It doesn't think in terms of universals. It responds to the here and now of time and place. The priest hears the word of God for all time. The prophet hears the word of God for this time. The ethic of the priest, and of holiness generally, is different again. The key activities of the priest are lehevadil, to discriminate, distinguish, and divide, and leherot, to instruct people in the law, both generally as teachers and in specific instances as judges. The key words of the priest are kodesh and chol, holy and secular, tameh and tahor, impure and pure. The single most important passage in the Torah that speaks in the priestly voice is chapter 1 of Bereishit, Genesis, the narrative of creation. Here, too, a key word is lehavdil, to divide, which appears 5 times. God divides between light and dark, the upper and lower waters, and day and night. Other key words are bless. God blesses the animals, humankind, and the seventh day, and sacrifice, kadesh. At the end of creation, God sanctifies the Shabbat. Overwhelmingly elsewhere in the Torah, the verb lehavdil and the root kadosh occur in priestly context, and it is the priests who bless the people. The task of the priest, like God of creation, is to bring order out of chaos. The priest establishes boundaries in both time and space. There are holy times and holy places, and each time and place has its own integrity, its own setting in the total scheme of things. The Kohen, the priest's protest, is against the blurring of boundaries so common in pagan religions, between gods and humans, between life and death, between the sexes, and so on. A sin for the Kohen is an act in the wrong place, and its punishment is exile, being cast out of your rightful place. A good society for the Kohen is one in which everything is in its proper place, and the Kohen has a special sensitivity toward the stranger, the person who has no place of his or her own. The strange collection of commands in Kedoshim thus turns out not to be strange at all. The Holiness Code sees love and justice as part of a total vision of an ordered universe in which each thing, person, and act has their rightful place, and it is this order that is threatened when the boundary between different kinds of animals, grains, fabrics is breached, when the human body is lacerated, or when people eat blood, the sign of death, in order to feed life. In the secular West, we're familiar with the voice of wisdom. It is common ground between the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the great sages from Aristotle to Marcus Aurelius to Montaigne. We know, too, the prophetic voice and what Einstein called its almost fanatical love of justice. We're far less familiar with the priestly idea that just as there is a scientific order to nature, so there is a moral order, and it consists in keeping separate the things that are separate, and maintaining the boundaries that respect the integrity of the world God created and seven times pronounced good. The priestly voice is not marginal to Judaism. It is central, essential. It is the voice of the Torah's first chapter. It is the voice that defined the Jewish vocation as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It dominates the Parsha Vayikra, the central book of the Torah, and whereas the prophetic spirit lives on in Agadah, the priestly voice prevails in Halakha. The very name Torah and the verb Lehorat is a priestly word. Perhaps the idea of ecology, one of the key discoveries of modern times, will allow us to understand better the priestly vision and its code of holiness, both of which see ethics not just as practical wisdom or prophetic justice, but also as honoring the deep structure, the sacred anthology of being. An ordered universe is a moral universe, a world at peace with its creator and itself. These words, written by the late Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory, Emeritus Chief Rabbi of the United Hebrew Congregations of the British Commonwealth. And now, let's turn back to the news. Pulitzer Prizes were awarded Monday to reports on the Israel-Palestine conflict that have become steeped in controversy since their publication, including a nonfiction book by Jewish author Nathan Thrall and breaking news reporting and photography of Hamas's October 7th attacks by Reuters and the New York Times. The Pulitzer Board also presented a special citation to journalists covering the war from Gaza, noting that an extraordinary number have died while doing so. Thrall, a Bard College professor based in Jerusalem, whose work is often highly critical of Israel, won the Pulitzer for general nonfiction for his book A Day in the Life of Abed Salama, Anatomy of a Jewish Tragedy. Published days before October 7th, the book focuses on a Palestinian father's efforts to uncover news about his son following a bus crash. The Pulitzer jury called it a finely reported and intimate account of life under Israeli occupation of the West Bank. The book also focuses on several Israeli characters whose lives intersect with Salama's. Reuters won in the breaking news photography category for its of-the-moment images of the beginning of the October 7th attacks. Since the Newswire published the images, it faced accusations from a pro-Israel media advocacy group that its photography staff had advanced knowledge of the attacks, a charge the company has denied. The Pulitzer jury did not mention the controversy in its citation, which praised Reuters for raw and urgent photographs documenting the October 7th deadly attack in Israel by Hamas and the first weeks of Israel's devastating assault on Gaza. Staff at the Times won the Pulitzer for International Reporting for a series of reports on the attacks and Israel's retaliation in Gaza, including work focusing on the intelligence failures of Israel's military and the ways in which its government had propped up Hamas for years, as well as its strategy of bombing areas where it has instructed Gazan civilians to flee. The Pulitzer jury did not cite Screams Without Words, a controversial Times report about rapes allegedly committed by Hamas on October 7th, in its comments. published in December. The story has drawn criticism from pro-Palestinian media outlets that questioned the Times sources and from survivors and family members who said the paper's characterization of what happened to people they knew was not true. The criticism led to a high-profile newsroom leak of internal debate over the piece and also has helped fuel some denials that Hamas committed rape during the attacks. While Thrall's book predates the October 7th attack, his book tour was conducted in its shadow and has been a frequent magnet for controversy. Some tour stops canceled planned talks by Thrall, saying they would be insensitive in the midst of Israel's war, in a sign of how broader arts and culture landscape has been divided over Israel since the attacks. After the book's publication, a local Jewish federation protested Thrall's plan to teach a barred course on whether Israel's treatment of Palestinians could be considered apartheid. At least one media outlet also canceled a planned sponsorship by his publisher, while Thrall himself turned down a speaking engagement at the University of Arkansas after the school, in accordance with state law, required him to sign a pledge promising not to boycott Israel. Elsewhere in the awards, the Pulitzer Committee honored Vladimir Kara-Murza, a Russian Jewish dissident, for the prize for commentary. Kara-Murza, who's been accusing Russia of committing war crimes in Ukraine, was sentenced to 25 years in prison last year for treason and won the Pulitzer from his cell. The Pulitzers are overseen by the Journalism School at Columbia University, which has been at the epicenter of a nationwide campus pro-Palestinian encampment movement and which canceled its university-wide commencement ceremony earlier on Monday in the wake of the protests. Several days before announcing the awards, the Pulitzer Committee also issued a special acknowledgement of student journalists covering the campus protests. And that's all we have time for today. Light Shabbat candles tonight at 8:20. Shabbat ends tomorrow evening at 9:26. I'm Malcolm Bernstein. This has been the American Israelite Program, The News of the Jews. We'll be back with you next Friday. Until then, take care, stay safe, and be well. Shabbat Shalom, a restful and pleasant Sabbath to all.